Hey guys, it's 8-Bit Nobody. Before we start today's episode, just take a second to talk about our sponsor, Sinister Jerky, and you can find that at www.sinisterjerky.com. They have all sorts of flavors from Carnage Asada, OG, the Pickle, which is made with dill flavoring, Cracked Pepper, Mango Habanero, and Sriracha Smoke. All these flavors are amazing. I've tried them all personally, and I cannot recommend them enough. Use code KINGDOM at checkout for a 10% discount. That code is KINGDOM, KINGDOM. All right, guys, we'll catch you after the episode. All right, welcome back to Castle Comps, episode 66. Today, we have brand new affiliate on the block, Toxic Bullet. Toxic Bullet, how you doing today?
I can't complain. How are you?
Doing good on this fine Sunday. Are you doing anything for Halloween? It's tomorrow. Are you dressing up? Are you going to any parties?
No, nothing crazy. I got to work tomorrow, so.
That's the worst thing about being an adult. The spooky season and holidays in general just don't hit the way they used to. Now, with Halloween season being intact, are you going to do anything for trick-or-treaters? Like, do you got, like, candy ready or a pumpkins carved or anything like that?
No, I do not. That's kind of like one of the joys about my apartment being kind of like in the back of the building.
Oh, nice.
Nobody ends up coming to my door.
See, that is a nice thing.
I don't have to worry about any of that stuff. I don't have to worry about any of that.
Do you buy Halloween candy just to eat as a personal? Like, you know, those party-sized bags with, like, the little tiny Snickers and Reese's and all that?
Every once in a while. I'm not too big into sweets, but that stuff would last me like the rest of the year too.
There's nothing wrong with that at all. Shit, you buy some of those bags, you can tell that candy's left over from last year. Like the Nestle Crunch bars just are white as a dog turd, and you're like, what happened here? So, moving forward from the spoopy season and working and such. So, brand new affiliate on the block. So, tell me a little bit about the affiliate grind. Was it hard for you to reach that goal? Was it fairly easy? Like, what got you into streaming? Was there a particular streamer in question who got you to the platform?
So, always been in and out of streaming, whether it was on the YouTube side of things or on Twitch, but it was never really took it too seriously. And then I started building a community over on my Discord, which kept growing and growing and growing. And I was like, well, you know what? Maybe we just tackle it finally.
Right, just go for it.
Yeah. I found the biggest issue was actually the 3 average. Because, like, I'd have some really good streams, and the average would just not add up to what I would assume it would be at based on what my viewership was.
Right, right.
So I don't know if it was just buggy or maybe I'm just not understanding where the math on that's going, but
the algorithm and all that. Now, were you playing games that are very high saturation, things like a Warzone or a Tarkov or a Marauders? Like, what kind of games were you playing to get to the to get to affiliate?
So the final grind, like the last big stream was actually the Modern Warfare 2 early access like campaign.
Nice.
I did the full. I want to say it's veteran, whichever the first hardest difficulty is.
Now, have you
start to finish on that entire stream?
Have you played those COD campaigns before? And if so, where did this one stack up for you? Without any spoilers, would you say this was one of the better campaigns, worst campaigns, somewhere in the middle? Great.
It was great. And if you're planning on playing it on like the harder difficulties, I can tell you hands down that the way they reworked the AI and stuff in this one definitely makes it like unforgivable. Like the AIs are pretty cracked.
Nice. So they're not just brainless, dumb AIs who run right up to you and turn around.
Oh man, they definitely put in some work on them.
So being somebody who's playing the Modern Warfare 2 and you did the campaign, did you dip into the multiplayer with Search and Destroy or any of those other multiplayer games on there?
So Search and Destroy is usually my go-to. Heck, the entire time that Call of Duty Cold War and Vanguard was out, I was still going back to Modern Warfare 2019 to play some hardcore search and gunfight.
Right. Now, for somebody who streams, do you find it difficult to stream Search and Destroy because people tend to tensions run high. People say some pretty fucked up things over comms that you can get strikes for as a streamer. Like, how do you navigate that?
So the trick is definitely to just have a squad with you. Like, have a full squad, and just as soon as you enter a lobby, mute everybody else. You're all sitting in Discord anyways, so it doesn't matter if you have in-game comms or not.
That is true. Absolutely true.
There's also the old disable the voice chat in the settings itself.
Right. I've heard some pretty crazy things being said
Oh,
on those
it's
lobbies.
just that's just the Call of Duty lobbies. It's been the same since Modern Warfare 2.
Very, like, the only thing I can think of that is similar is like CSGO when you have a terrible team or just R6 in general. Like, some of those
100%.
communities can be either
It
very
just gets
supportive
so
or
toxic so fast.
incredibly toxic.
It's the second somebody says something wrong.
So when you play those games, are you more of a W key guy? Are you a sniper? Like, what's your play style when it comes to that kind of game?
Unfortunately, I happen to be the guy that's usually the last man alive. I'm very much so stay back, keep an eye on everything, and then once everybody's dead, I guess it's time to shine, you know? I go in there and I get it done.
Right? That's, hey, there's nothing wrong with that. As long as you're
Yeah.
getting out of there with your life and the W, then it doesn't matter how
Oh
you do
man.
it.
Top of the leaderboard usually every time, baby.
Nice. Nice. So
Yeah.
when it comes to the Modern Warfare 2 bit, like, I heard some people kind of complain about skill-based matchmaking. Now, did you find that was an issue for this, like, the early iterations of the game, or did you feel like the playing was on level and par throughout?
So it's definitely not as polished off as what Modern Warfare 2019 was towards the end. Which I don't know if they copied the formula or if they went and tried to change everything again as they usually do. It's definitely been very hit or miss.
And would you say with this particular game that COD is moving in the right direction? Would you say this is a step in the right direction, or do you think that they made some mistakes that they need to correct moving forward?
So I think they made some proper steps in the right direction if they can hold on to that. The whole this being the first Call of Duty that's going to have a 2-year cycle, that's pretty big.
Oh,
So we should
absolutely.
have a boatload of content.
So, are you
With
gonna
the new
miss?
DLC mode, it's going to be some fun times as well.
Are you gonna miss Verdansk when they like release that Al Shahara? What is the name of that new multiplayer map? It's like Al Mahar or something like that.
Al-Mazar?
Something like
Al-Mazar?
that.
I'm not really sure. It's something like that. It's now something. Never been a very big Warzone guy, except for like the early days, and then it got plagued with cheaters, and it just completely threw me off.
Right. That seemed to be a lot of people's issue with Battlefront. I mean, like, the Warzone aspect
With
was all of the
Warzone, yeah.
people. So I saw some clips of people who were cheating on Modern Warfare 2 early access to, like, walls. You could see them through it. Did you experience any sus deaths, or did you experience any blatant cheaters during your initial playthroughs?
Like during the beta or like
Yeah,
just
during the
now?
beta.
During the beta, see, so I'm the kind of guy that I will tilt my hat, say good shot, and call it a day,
Right.
rather than accuse everybody of cheating, because I have some friends that I play with that are like that, and it just like I can't imagine playing a game and being miserable like that all the time.
Just going immediate to the accusation.
Yeah, and it's like the worst part is half the time you'll hear them call them cheaters, and then you like walk up behind those guys that are accusing you of cheating, and they're like completely oblivious to you even being there. Like,
Right.
this guy is cheating, he is not good at it. Like,
Yeah, that's an unfortunate thing with gaming, is that's just an element, and some people are very quick to blame said elements,
they
even if
just
it's not
rather
the
blame it
cause.
on that than just the fact that they're just not very good at the game or that that guy just happens to be better than they are. It's very simple, really.
Right? Sometimes they're just gonna be better than you, and that's okay.
Yeah.
But,
Sometimes you just gotta get good, you know?
And people hate it when you tell them that too. Like, I'm
Oh,
sure when you
yeah,
tell your friends,
100%.
like,
They
you
get
just got to get good.
super. Yeah. I mean,
So
I'm just being honest.
hitting affiliate, there's a lot of doors that open up. Things like emotes, things like channel redemptions, things like that. So are you going to go down any of those particular routes very hard? Like, do you have a plan for your emotes? Do you have a plan for things you want to do? Like, what is going to be your channel moving forward?
So as soon as I got that, I actually went through the trouble of taking this logo that I had made a little while back and recropping it and resizing it down to make the sub badges. That
Okay.
took me so long. And now today I got a few subs in, but because they were like first or like founders or whatever, I haven't got to see any of them yet, so we'll see what happens with that.
Right. So
For emotes and stuff, I have a lot of very talented friends.
that's
So
the
I'm
best.
definitely gonna be more than willing to throw some bucks their way to get my all
There
done up.
are so many talented artists in the scene, but the thing that
Oh
sucks
man.
on Twitter is once you put out that you're looking for an artist, you get bombarded. And
Oh
it's
yeah, for a fact.
sometimes a real pain in the ass trying to find somebody to hire out of that bombardment. Like for me personally, I hired somebody and they did a great job with my emotes. And then I like reposted that they did a good job. And then I got bombarded with mails saying that that person steals art. It's like, what the fuck? I'm not trying to get involved in drama. I just want emotes. So it's a good thing you have friends where you don't have to deal with those pitfalls and all that random bullshit.
Yeah, no, for sure. Like I said, like very talented friends in my circle, so I feel like I would feel very bad outsourcing. You know what I
Right.
mean? Like I have
No,
all these
totally.
very talented friends around me, so I'm gonna definitely toss them to work.
So when it comes to channel redemption, are you gonna do what a lot of streamers do? Are you gonna do like that, like creepy jump scary noises? Are you gonna do like the Tarkov grenade landing next to you?
Yeah.
Like, do you have any plans for your
Oh
channel
yeah.
redemption?
Those are all happening for sure. It's gonna be very based on what game I'm playing.
Right. Just
I'm gonna
looking at
have like
some of
whole
the
lists of them.
people do some crazy stuff. Like, did you see the kid who set up a dunk tank and every time he died in a game or somebody redeemed something, it would dunk him into water?
Oh my God, that doesn't sound safe at
Yeah,
all.
right. You have
Being around
that.
all these electronics.
Yeah, it was a crazy setup. He had like his headset was like on a string connected to a ceiling, so it wouldn't like go with him into the water. And yeah, it's a really weird setup that he had to have for that play style. And then you get guys like Ash LV who, when it redeemed, like their light turns on super bright like a flashbang and blinds
Yeah,
them
did you
mid-game.
see Zichum's flashbang one?
Yeah, Zichum's flashbang, and then he also did that balloon like
Yeah,
inflating during the Marauder
he's an
subathon.
absolute genius man when it comes to that
They
stuff.
call him the boy genius.
The boy wonder, yeah.
I mean, that whole crew is so funny. You got Zichum the boy
Yeah, oh
genius,
yeah.
you got the loot lord or piss boy, depending on who you're talking to, and Aqua.
Yeah.
Then you got Omid the villain, and Deki was just Deki. So,
Decky is definitely Decky. I've got some good clips of that
oh, dude, he's hilarious. And he goes
guy.
hard too, like living in a box for the Marauderthons and just
That's, yeah,
the trash
that's a lot.
air and all that. Like, I've never been interested in flight sims until I watched him, and I was like, wow, this is just so fucking unique. Like,
Yeah.
yeah, just the lengths people go and the sticks that some people adopt. Now, is that kind of what you're, are you going to be more of a comedic streamer? Are you going to be more of a gameplay streamer? Are you trying to find your niche? Because I know when you do this kind of stuff, it takes a little while to find your voice. Like, do you feel like you found your voice as a content creator, or are you still kind of like trying to find that?
Very for the people. So oftenly enough, like I'll be trying to see what people want to watch me do. Being a car guy, I know I want to build another racing sim. I'm an everything with four wheels, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I'm like a true car guy at heart.
I was gonna say rally is really underappreciated in America. Like, it's
It
huge in
very
Europe.
much so is.
And
Very
you
much
like,
so is.
I know a lot of guys who like NASCAR. I know a lot of guys who like Formula One. And when I try to ask them, like, oh, do you like rally? They always kind of look at me like I'm speaking like Japanese or something. Like, what the fuck is
What is
rally?
that?
So, have you been thinking about doing any in real life streams of you working on cars? Are you at these events? Are you thought about going that route with your content? Or is it going to, at the moment, just stay within games?
At the moment, it's definitely going to stay within the game realm. There's definitely ideas roaming around, so I'm
Right.
going to have to see what happens with that. But,
See, that's the great thing about being versatile. Like, if you make all your content about, let's say, Modern Warfare, and that's all you like, you know, you talk about, and that's all you do. When you move over to those other things, there's no guarantee that said
nobody.
community is going to move with
Yeah.
you. But that's cool that you're kind of building this up. Like, I'm sure you talk to the up to your audience about these types of things and these types of interests. So that way, if you wanted to branch forward with those things, you totally could.
Yeah, well, that's what I was saying. That whole having a Discord community to surround you is very nice.
Right.
Just having a group that is into your stream for you and not just with the games you play, you know?
Absolutely. So you made friends before you started.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I had a pretty solid Discord community. How many members have we got now? 36, 39, 39 plus 66. I don't feel like doing math.
So that's
That's
like
how many people we
85.
have in our Discord server.
Oh, 95,
Wait,
sorry,
what?
95.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, so when you make your content, do you take clips? Do you like make TikToks or YouTube videos based off your content? Because you did mention YouTube earlier.
So the YouTube stuff was just live streaming. I enjoyed the idea of live streaming and it being a video that's out there. But like Twitch does that with the VODs and stuff. I just find the quality gets neutered pretty hard
Right.
on VODs.
So when it comes to streaming Modern Warfare 2 on Twitch, like I know people in the Tarkov community sometimes complain because the game is not very pretty on Twitch due to the bit rate. Now, do you find when you play Modern Warfare 2, would you say the game is still visually appealing on the Twitch platform, or is it kind of the same problem with the bit rate?
Man, it's a gorgeous game, even on Twitch. I've been having the problem of no capture cards, so I'm like streaming to my PC via remote play with my PS4, which ends up making a choppy mess. So if I'm streaming Modern Warfare 2, unfortunately, that's just something that we're gonna have to do until I can get hands on a capture card.
Right. No, totally.
But when I streamed the campaign, it was entirely done from the PlayStation, and it was pretty gorgeous. Like I kept looking over at the stream, and it looked really good.
So, when it comes to interactions, do you find it's difficult to play while interacting with your chat, or are you one of those guys that is able to narrate your gameplay as you're going? Like someone who's able to actually vocalize their thought process? For some people, it comes a lot more naturally than others.
So it depends on what I'm doing. When it came to like the campaign, I was obviously joking around with what was happening on screen and whatnot. But when it comes to multiplayer, it's definitely one of those where like I'm going to get into that round and usually playing like one life game modes like search and destroy and whatnot. I'll usually just tackle that round, and then if I die or something, then I'm totally free to get back into chat. Obviously, still going to talk, but it won't be too focused on chat itself.
Right, it's hard to keep up with the chat wall when you're trying to diffuse and you're
While
listening for
trying to
footsteps and all that.
absolutely carry the team,
Yeah,
yeah.
it's hard to hard carry while you're trying to read
Yeah,
people
100%,
as it's
100%.
scrolling, just like in Tarkov or any
Yeah.
other game that just demands a lot of attention. Like, Search and Destroy is kind of like a faster version of CSGO for those of you who haven't played it, so it's definitely, it's all or nothing.
Yeah, you're definitely either trying or you're not. There's
Exactly.
no in between.
So, racing games. Are there any racing games that are currently on your radar?
Like upcoming?
Yeah,
I don't even
upcoming
know.
or
Is there
games that are
anything
currently out
upcoming?
that you're all about?
I know Spin Tires games. I don't know if you played any of those, like Snow Runner, Mud Runner, and that.
I have not.
You're basically like doing logging runs and stuff through this like really muddy crap. So it's like a big 4x4 simulator, I guess.
Nice. Now, do you play those
That one's
games with a
very
racing
interesting
wheel?
too. Yeah, with the Logitech G29, the force feedback and everything.
Nice. So, how would you compare playing that on a wheel as opposed to playing that mouse and keyboard or as opposed to playing that on a regular controller? Because I'm sure a lot of people out there have never purchased a wheel or used a wheel that are a little curious as to how that functions. Like, does it really give you an advantage or is it one of those things where it's just easier to do because of the like mechanics of driving a car?
On the game depends on how optimized it is to run the wheel. Some games do it very well where like you feel every bump and every little thing on the road, and you can like literally feel when your car's losing traction and stuff. Just overall stuff that you wouldn't feel playing on anything else. But at the same time, I find playing on a controller will always be the easiest way. It's just so straightforward. There's no having to adapt to the car. There's no having to tweak 20,000 settings.
Right.
But with that being said, again, like if you can get all that setting stuff figured out, there's always endless amounts of tutorials everywhere you go, right? YouTube's a crazy beast for that.
Totally. So when you're playing,
you figured out, it's great.
The trucking one where you're getting like the logging runs and all that. Now, do you role play your characters at all, or do you pretty much just play it straight?
No, we just usually sit back, get really high, and just get from point A to point B.
So when you're partaking, what is your favorite mode to partake when you're getting into stream? Are you an edible guy? Are you a vape guy? Are you a bong guy? Like, what is your favorite method of consumption?
I will roll the absolute fattest of cannons and just smoke on that for the next like 20 minutes or so.
Now, when you stream, do you have a face cam on, or is it one of those things where you don't have a camera? Perfect.
I do not.
Because I know sometimes Twitch, if you're not in a state that's legal, or even if you are in a state that's legal, I know people who've gotten in trouble for smoking joints on said thing. So not having a face camera on is a really good way to negate that.
Yeah.
And it also is a little easier on your stream.
100% legal.
See, yeah, 100%. You guys have it all figured out up there.
Yeah,
you got Tim Hortons and you got legal pot and medical.
Yes, sir. Man, they're even opening up, not that it's something I'm into personally, but they're opening up mushroom dispensaries. And I think we just opened up our like second or third location last week.
Jesus, that's a whole different ball
that's
of wax.
Too,
have you part? Right? Have you done those before? Or is it one of those things you've stayed away from?
I have not.
I've done those on a few occasions. And, you know, I will say this about the fungus is you either love it or you don't.
Yeah.
It all depends on your trip.
We're like, 100%. And honestly, I know a lot of people, even with marijuana, where like their first experience was like their friends hang them a bong or something and them getting way too high. And then it's just an absolute anxiety attack and it throws them off from smoking forever.
No, I would agree with that.
It's like one of the saddest things for me. I'm like, oh man, you're missing out on so much.
Right. One terrible experience. That's the worst part about, marijuana. You're not going to hallucinate like you do. Like, the thing I hate about Hollywood movies is they go over the top. It's like, you're not going to see hallucinate. Unless that shit's laced with something, you're not going to trip out like that. Whereas mushrooms, you will.
100%.
It's definitely, I remember taking them and seeing everything melt. And I was like, this is horrible. I hate this.
Yeah, this sucks.
I don't want to melt right now. I want it to be mellow.
I think one of my favorite Hollywood representations of marijuana has to be Pineapple Express.
Oh, that one's so funny. Daniel McBride and company.
Yeah. He got shot how many times? Then?
So many times. That just would not die.
He's like dying while having breakfast at that little cafe at the end.
Casts and all, yeah. He's funny in just about everything he's in. Just like Eastbound and Down, that show on HBO, where he's like the drugged up pitcher. And he's got the one about the end of the world.
Yeah. This is the end or whatever with all the crazy high-end actors.
And then he's got Your Highness, which is like, his like Dungeons and Dragons one where he's like a hero and his like brother got a hand job from a wizard puppet.
Yeah.
Growing up super fucked up.
Yeah. Did you ever play Saints Row 2?
Oh, that
super off topic.
That game, I remember that game. You could run around and you could hit people with dildos and you could smoke bongs and you could do all sorts of crazy shit in those Saints Row games.
That wasn't in Saints Row 2. But the reason why I brought Saints Row 2 up is Danny McBride, his red character from Pineapple Express was actually the character you played as when you did that that video game from your apartment or whatever. You have to like fight off zombie hordes.
I'm trying to remember. It's been such a long time since I booted up Saints Row 2, but that totally sounds like something that would go through.
I had my childhood. So good. I don't know why it was him. I don't know if it was even his voice or anything, but it was just...
It scratched that itch.
It was there.
Oh, so fucking funny. So I have to ask, from somebody who's a neighbor to the north, I know a lot of people who argue that Strange Brew... with Canada's version of like beer Cheech and Chong, a lot of them say that that's hilarious to them, and I hate that movie. Are you a fan of Strange Brew, or have you never seen it?
I have never even heard of it.
It's got Rick Moranis and I want to say John Candy, and it's pretty much just like Cheech and Chong with beer and a lot of Canadian stereotypes.
No, that's funny. Now my go-to like Canadian stereotype is usually just Trailer Park Boys.
Oh, it's water under the fridge, Ricky.
Yeah.
It's too bad Mr. Leahy died because, oh my God, that show is so fucking... I am the liquor.
Yeah. Oh man, the fact that they brought him back in the cartoon made my heart melt. It was so good.
It
They like
was.
brought back a bunch of his Quippets and stuff, and it's just his ghost coming out of the bottle.
Oh yeah, and then they get McKinnon from fucking Manitoba Moosehead in there
Yeah.
too. It's so
Yeah. It
good.
was
So,
so good.
are you gonna have any Trailer Park Boys things in your stream? Like, are you gonna have any alerts? Like, for the new follower, I am the liquor or something crazy like
So
that?
I'm definitely looking at the sub notification is going to be that very famous Leahy clip of him like falling down the stairs drunk there,
Love it.
just because of like you accidentally subbed to me sort of thing. You must be drunk.
So, do you have a favorite character in Trailer Park Boys? And who and why?
Oh man, that's a tough one, man. Because like Bubbles is definitely up there.
Oh, he's so
You can never
funny.
go wrong with Bubbles. J-Rock is
J-Rock.
gold.
You have to be in a mood for J-Rock, though. Sometimes he comes
Yeah.
in and you're like, I'm not feeling it. But other times
Yeah.
it's hilarious.
For sure.
Oh, or like the little clips they make, like that one where it's like that Irish drinking song. It's like Bubble singing about the cats getting high on catnip and shit.
Yeah. Well, did you ever watch or did you ever listen to any of their podcasts?
You know, I haven't. I've heard that it
No.
exists. It's on my radar of things I need to listen to, but that's a thing
It's
that's
Trailer
about
Park After
podcasts.
Dark or whatever.
It's like I know once I listen to one, I'm gonna become hopelessly addicted. And
Oh,
right now
it's
I got a
so
bunch of
good,
other
man.
shows that are on my
I've never
radar.
even managed to finish it. Yeah, that's how I feel. Like I have so much access to like TV shows and everything that like I end up with way too many things at once, and I just end up having to restart some when I get back to them. Like
It's like House of the Dragon. It's like, oh, do I really want to get invested in a show where season two is not going to come out in 2 fucking years? You know, it's like maybe I'll hold off.
That's the Game of Thrones like
Yeah, that's
prequel
the
or
second.
whatever.
Yeah, the prequel. And like season
Yeah,
two
so
is
I
not going to
haven't
come
even
out for a
watched Game of
long
Thrones.
time. Oh, that's it. I mean, if you like fucked up murder and like crazy story, like it's a
Dude,
great
I just
show.
heard the ending was quite the letdown, and I'm like,
Ah, it
well, you know
was.
what? I guess I don't have to worry about that if I haven't watched a single episode yet.
Because the writers got offered, they wanted to do Star Wars, so like it feels
Yeah.
like they phoned in the last season, which is
Yeah,
regrettable. And
it's
then Star Wars
quite
sucked, so it's like
untrustworthy.
you didn't even do
Yeah.
good with what you were
Yeah.
given.
That's rough for sure.
Absolutely. So when it comes to content creation, like how long would you say it took you to feel comfortable? Because I know a lot of people when they first go live, it takes
Oh,
a little bit
man.
of time.
So I was always the guy in the group that was either causing shit, obviously within
Very
the team.
outgoing.
I was that toxic member, right? So I was always the guy to get a laugh out of everybody.
Right.
So I feel like this is the same. It's just they're not playing with me. They're just watching me play instead.
Right. Do you find it's hard to bounce off a chat wall, or do you find it's easy?
Oh, it's super easy. I don't have any problems with
Because
that.
I know some people who have a difficulty, like they like to hear that voice coming through, and it's not there. So, you know, people who feed off of that energy, sometimes it's hard for them to, you know, get what they need.
No, I'm always memeing the chat.
Nice. That's the best way to be. So, do you think adding a camera is something that you're looking forward to moving forward, or are you just gonna stay non-cam PS4?
No, so Modern Warfare 2 is literally the only thing I've been streaming off there. I was kind of hoping to get off the PlayStation altogether once this game came out, but I ended up having to cancel my pre-order, so.
Absolutely.
But the webcam thing, it's kind of up in the air. It's a maybe sort of thing, because
Totally.
like I'm a smoker, not only like the weed but also cigarettes and stuff. And I know that that's pretty frowned upon on Twitch.
Yeah, they take some stances on there for that kind of stuff. Even though it's legal and you're an adult and you can do whatever you want to do, that like yeah, they take that
They're
stance because, you know,
proselytizing it off.
yeah, children and all that. Other than DMCA music stuff, it's kind of crazy the stuff that you can do on Twitch and get a slap on the wrist, and then things you can do on Twitch and, you know, totally get like you'd fuck on Twitch and only get a 7 days ban. But if you smoke cigarettes, you're
100%.
gonna get like an actual written like, hey.
Yeah,
Or
just hold on strike.
if you play music, they're gonna mute your entire stream.
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense.
Thankfully for the music stuff, I have a few buddies that do some DMCA safe stuff. Their content's always free to use.
See, that's just going back to the community where you have a lot of
Hell
talented
yeah.
people, which is great. So
Great
emotes are
circles.
pretty much already squared away for you then. Music you're going to use on stream is already squared away for you then. Are you thinking about
Yeah.
like getting any kind of graphics other than, like the new alert with like Leahy falling down the stairs? Like, have you thought about any routes for
This
that?
is gonna be this is gonna be a gif. I haven't really thought of too much yet. It's all starting up now, so we're gonna see where the road goes.
Right. So for those people who might not know like how hard it is to hit affiliate, how difficult would you say that grind was, and how long did it take you?
Again, like I was on and off streaming for super long. And then ended up building the community. I would tackle the affiliate, and then I would end up streaming for so long with low views that my average would be completely screwed for the month.
Right.
So I would have to like stop streaming completely, let it reset,
It's weird
and
how
then
that
attack it
works.
again.
It's like you could stream for
Yeah.
12 hours, and then for like 5 of those hours, you could have like 15 people. And then for like the last end, if you don't have like, if you have like 0 to 1, it's going to completely
Just
fuck the
tanks it.
number.
Completely tanks it. Yeah,
It's
100%. That's what's
funny how
saying.
that
That
works.
average is just the worst.
Right. So.
But my advice, build a community, have folks that are ready to be there and pull you on a tab. It's only three people that you got to get. You know what I mean? If you got to tab yourself, if you got to get your mom to tab you, you do that.
Right?
Do what you got to do.
You gotta do whatever you can. Yeah,
But
it's
yeah,
definitely
absolutely.
it's a little bit of a tricky thing, but once you hit that, it's definitely like, did
Once
you
you
feel
hit,
vindicated when you got there? Like, did you feel good when you hit that
oh
number?
man, it was like not only did we get it done, but that last stream doing the Modern Warfare 2 campaign, I got raided by Here Comes Peepaw. I got raided by Beard the Squabblehead. So it was just massive raid after massive raid. And then we obviously finally finished that campaign. I think it was final count was like 8 hours. So it was a very good feeling. Definitely had some celebration drinks that night.
It always feels good when you, especially when you get those vindication things, especially when you like people who return, people who talk and be like, hey, I like hanging out here for X, Y, and Z reason, or hey, this feels like
Oh
I'm
yeah.
hanging out with my friends. So it's cool when you can like cultivate those communities. And it was smart having other routes to like, funnel people into it. Like you had the Discord, you had already a set in built friends, and then you have people like Toadster or Peepaw who, raided, and people that outside of streaming, like in the gaming scene and whatnot. So are there any games that are coming out or that are already out that you want to try to do duo streams with?
Duo streams? You mean like the squad streams?
Yeah, something like a Dark and Darker or Marauders or anything like that.
Isn't that only partnered?
Oh, I mean, like you stream and then they're also streaming, like you're not on the same screen.
I mean, it depends. It depends on the games. I know Tarkov is one that's very fun for that. But Tarkov, like you said, it's a very weird one to stream
It's a hard one,
quality
yeah.
wise.
Then there's
And
just so many
it's
people
also
in
very
that scene.
demanding. Yeah.
Like, if you try to,
This
that's like one of
life
those
has just
games where
not
you
been
could
it, though.
scroll forever and not hit the bottom, of people that are streaming. Like,
Yeah, there's just endless people.
discoverability on the Twitch platform leaves something to be desired. So
Also, it
that's.
hasn't been changed since 2014. There's no actual algorithm. Like,
Yeah.
explain to me why it is that everything I follow is game related. But on my front page, I'm looking at Amaranth and like 20 other bikini chicks in hot tubs. Like,
Yeah, that's something
there's
I've
no
been
algorithm there.
wondering too, because it feels like no matter who I watch, I get promoted people who I don't watch. Like, I don't watch a lot of
Yeah,
music
there's just
streamers.
no
I maybe watch
algorithm.
one, and it's just like my entire discovery page will be like people on ukuleles, and like I've never watched one ukulele stream. Or like you said, it'll be like a hot tub streamer, and it's just like that's cool and all, but I don't watch these. Like, I
Not my
don't know.
thing. Yeah. No, it's just because there's no algorithm, so they just push whoever it is they decide to push.
Yeah, Twitch does some weird stuff, and then they had that
Pushing
thing where
for
it's like, hey, pay for you to be on the front page for discoverability. It's just like, why would
that. Yeah,
I or
that's
anyone from my community have to pay for that? Like,
weird.
shouldn't it just be
Yeah, just to see
recommended if
something
somebody
for
likes
everything.
certain content? It just doesn't make sense to me how Twitch
Just no
does certain
discoverability, no algorithm. That's why when it comes to that stuff, you're definitely better off going with other socials to push yourself around, whether it's Twitter, you could start an Instagram. I heard TikTok works wonders, even though that's not my thing. Starting a YouTube definitely goes a long way
I
because
was
they
going to ask,
actually have an algorithm.
what made you decide on Twitch as opposed to a YouTube gaming or a Facebook gaming? Like, what brought you to the Twitch platform? Was it a certain streamer? Was it
The
something?
community.
The community.
Just the folks that were around me, everybody was using Twitch. I was like, all right, cool. I guess I'll just use Twitch.
Totally.
Just ease of access. I found I use Twitch Studios for my recording and stuff.
Yeah,
And it's
it does
super
make
easy
it.
to use.
The only thing I have with Twitch is
So
it deletes
simple.
your VODs after a period of time. And sometimes you want to reach back and you want to watch certain things. So that's like the one negative I have with, well, one of the few negatives I have with Twitch is that you don't get to keep your VODs as opposed to a YouTube where your VODs just never go away.
Yeah, 100%. The thing with that is, I mean, realistically, all you have to do is just, if you think you're going to use that VOD later on, download it. You know what I mean? Just
True.
download it, and then if you end up using it later, use it. If not, delete it later on.
Right, but that's one of those things. Like when you're playing or when you're on stream, and you have a moment that you weren't expecting. Like, damn it, the one time I don't record this, or the one time I don't do this, it's something I want to keep. Which you can go back and clip it, but you know, if you're looking to make longer form content, it's really easy to forget to push record and then reach back, and it's just gone forever if you're not careful with certain
Well, the
things.
thing with Twitch is you can actually highlight certain sections while you're streaming
True.
so that when you go back into the VOD, you're like, well, where was it that that happened? And you'll look for the highlights and you'll be like, oh, yeah, there it is. You can go in there and clip whatever amount of time that you need.
That definitely beats having a pen and paper and write, oh, I'm at the 4 hour mark and this awesome
Yeah,
thing happened. Let me
100%.
write this down and all that other
100%.
stuff. So when it comes to audio and a lot of things that people have trouble with when they're first getting started, did you have any hiccups with audio? Did you have any hiccups with any of the stuff first getting started, like game volume too high, not high enough? Like, did it take you a while before you found a good balance?
It's still a problem. It's still a problem. The audio sources are always messing around. So it's just a matter of like getting them sorted towards the start of the stream and then you're good to go.
Right. And do you use OPS or what program, third party program do you use to go
Twitch
live?
Studio.
Just Twitch Studio. Nice. Yeah, because I know with OBS it'll do annoying things like it'll update and it'll totally get rid of all your settings and you have to try to remember all your stuff and
Twitch
re-go
Studio is the
into
same
it.
way, unfortunately. Not so much that it changes everything, but like if you're changing applications or maybe audio sources, some games don't pick up the same way, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
For the
Lead
most
to
part, it's figured
annoyance.
out. Yeah, for the most part now, it should be all figured out. The only problem I had today was doing that remote play thing. That was a whole other audio source that I had to figure out.
Right. So when it comes to things like remote play, and you said that you only use the PS4 for Modern Warfare 2, have you seen Stream Decks? Has that tickled your interest when it comes to streaming? Like, are you going to purchase a Stream Deck, or are you just going to mostly be at your station when it comes to straight up gameplay on your PC?
So definitely just gonna end up investing in like a capture card or something. Although kind of pushing towards eliminating the PlayStation 4 altogether. So we'll see what happens first.
PlayStation
In
5s are
terms of
so
Stream
hard to
Deck,
find.
oh,
I've
100%,
only
yeah.
seen like one in the wild, and I don't know what it's like in Canada, but I can only
Oh,
imagine
it's
it's pretty similar.
just as I still have my PS4 Pro. That's what I'm playing on.
Nice. Yeah, so when it comes to everything involved in, like, you know, starting up a stream, getting all the equipment, doing what you need to do, what would you say was the hardest aspect?
I'm glad I built my PC when I did. I can tell you that much.
Oh yeah, because graphic card prices and all that other
Just
stuff.
everything exploded. I think it was like the year after I built it. I built my PC, I want to say 2 years ago now, so like just before the big craze.
Nice. And you manually built it. You didn't go with a pre-build or anything like that.
Oh, I built it completely myself. Ordered every part on Amazon with that
Now,
Prime shipping.
Were you new to the PC building process, or was it something you've tackled in the past?
Not once. I just watched an LTT video and put it together, and it worked just fine.
Were you a little hesitant to do anything on that? Were you like, oh, these are really, like, you know, very small pieces? Or was it one of those things like, I'm used to dealing with cars, I'm used to putting things together, this shouldn't be too difficult?
Well, that's the thing with cars. If something's not going in properly, chances are you just got to give it a little extra shove and it should be okay.
Right. Computers, not so
PC
much.
Wise, they tell you not to, but man, like these bastards are resilient. As much as people, like, aside from the CPU, obviously, and like don't go dropping your GPU and stuff, but for the most part, it's pretty resilient. You know what I mean? Like, they'll bounce.
They'll bounce. No, 100%. As long as you're not getting them wet or any of the components like that, you should be fine.
You can't mess it up that bad. Unless you're absolutely like just fisting that thing into the computer, just absolutely ramming it in there, you should be all right.
Yeah. Were you hesitant with static? Like, did you do everything on like a wooden table away from everything? Or did you just not give a shit about that and just built it wherever you could?
I built it on my kitchen table. So I guess on a wooden table,
nice.
But I made sure to build everything into the computer case. Like, I mounted the motherboard first and then mounted everything else.
So
everything was grounded to itself.
Out of that whole process, what was the most difficult part for you? Or was it pretty much just all as one seamless, like, easy?
It honestly, aside from, so when I first booted it, I had like nothing was posting. And I was like, oh shit, here we go. So I went through the checklist and I was like, well, maybe it's the RAM. So I undid the RAM, put the RAM back in, and luckily enough, it booted up and it was good to go, and it's been all right since.
Nice. And the cool thing about building your PC,
minor heart attack there, but
is you know exactly what specs are in there. It's not like a pre-build where you have to, like, you know, reach back, look back at the specs, and look what's in there. You know exactly what's in there. And since you're the one who physically
buy those parts,
right? And you're the one who physically put that in there. So when it comes to, like, updating your system, if you want to add stuff, take stuff out, upgrade your graphics card, it'll probably be fairly simple because, like, oh, I'm the one who did this to begin with, so I know exactly how to do it.
Oh, yeah. PC part picker is a very useful tool. If you do have any sort of pre-built or computer that you've been handed down, whatever it is, you go in there, you put in the parts that you do have, and they'll tell you what you can upgrade with and what will be compatible with each other.
Right. I was going to ask if you used a PC part picker or a Newegg or any of those websites, because it's definitely, if you don't know what you're doing, if it's your first time, it's really easy to buy the wrong thing.
Oh yeah. Super easy to mess that up.
That's probably one of the most common things I've heard from my friends who do go the build your own PC route is like, oh, I bought the wrong thing.
All my stuff, and look at that. There's not enough, like, this does not fit in this at all. I'm like, yeah, well, PC part picker, baby.
The power supply unit's not powerful enough or some stupid thing.
Yeah, it's always something for sure. Right. Motherboard's not compatible with that chipset, blah, blah, blah.
Right. So with all the stuff that goes into streaming, with all, like, the time, do you have, like, a set schedule? Do you try to hit, like, oh, I do Tuesdays at, you know, 8 o'clock? Or do you have, like, a set schedule? Or is it one of those things where you stream when you have the availability to stream?
So right now, it's very much so I will drop it in the Discords and be like, hey, guys, streaming at blah, blah, blah tonight. Come along. You know what I mean?
Right. No, totally.
Very impromptu for now. If I get a chance sometime soon to toss a schedule together, it'd be ideal for sure. But so far, I mean, even impromptu, it's working out all right.
Totally. So when it comes to all the stuff that comes with streaming, do you find that it's easier to network with people in the streaming community as it is in other fields of work? Like, you know, if you work at, like, a paper plant, you have to, like, talk to people and network that way. Would you say it's easier to network with people who are streamers or easier to network with people in real life settings?
So I guess it depends on the real life setting, but for the most part in the Twitch communities, it's so easy to network out there. You know, just show up to your fellow streamers' chats, hang out, you know, get your name out there. And obviously, don't go to the chats and promote yourself directly.
Yeah.
But if you become a good member of said community, they'll shout you out. You know what I mean? They'll get your name out too.
That's probably one of the most common things I'll see when I'm like in a bigger streamer's thing. Like when I'm on an Aqua FPS thing, some guy's in there, like, you know, dropping, yeah, like,
broadcasting yourself, and it just gets you banned. You know what I mean? Like, that's no good for you. You're not getting anywhere. Everybody's gonna be annoyed at you. Nobody's gonna want to look at your shit.
Right? That's almost as like hated as those people who come in there and drop the "Hey, you want to be famous?" links. It's just like, who clicks on this shit?
Yeah,
Like,
you might as well be a bot. You might as well be a bot.
Who fall, like, I'm just curious as to who falls into that pitfall. Like, who clicks on that thinking, like, I want to be famous? Like, it's just so obviously, like, why? Such bullshit. Yeah.
Well, the ones that I don't understand is, I'm sure you've seen it, the YouTube comments with the whole message my Telegram, and it's like they're trying to advertise as the person you're watching or whatever.
Yeah, or those people who make, like, a clone Twitter account, like, you know, background profile picture and everything, like, oh my god, my PC just broke. Yeah, well, like, that person's actually streaming. They're like, I need $500. Or those people who get like addicted to gambling, like that slicker guy who like fucked his community out of thousands of dollars, and then Ludwig had to come and save everybody. That's so fucked up. And yeah, that guy's not bad.
You get yourself in that. Well, the worst part is that if you really look at that, that's on their sponsors' shoulders. Like, the fact that they took those sponsors,
true,
and invested so much money into that. Like, I get it. I mean, it might be a massive viewership on Twitch, but I don't know if at any point would I say, hey, that let's just go gamble for a living.
Right. It's definitely
doesn't sound like a good idea.
It's just not stable. It's one of those things where there's so many things that can happen, especially with it comes to like college sports where they're not professional athletes, you know, like anything can happen. Bama can get beaten by anybody if they have a bad day. But, you know, those people who are taking those money lines, it's like, it's risk. Like, granted, I could see the fun of being one of those guys, but when you're up there and you're lit like Trainwreck, who's like, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars lost or gained in a day, and to him it's nothing. For somebody who doesn't have those means, who just looks at it and adopts that mindset, it can be potentially dangerous.
Well, yeah, because then you're talking about like breaking families apart and absolutely, you know, massacring whatever stuff you do own, you know what I mean?
Right, and it doesn't help that Twitch takes partners with like DraftKings or any of that. So it's funny how they're like,
sponsors that are like, man, like, I don't, that's.
But, you know, they ban the ones that they're not sponsored by. It's like, oh, yeah, we're going to get rid of all slot gamblers. But, oh, DraftKings, if you bet on bets, if you bet on sports, it's all good. It's all gravy. Who gives a fuck?
Well, what they ended up doing is they banned any of the slots that weren't regulated by
the U.S.,
which is,
or
like,
it's by government
point,
in general.
What did you? Yeah, well, I'm assuming U.S. I don't know. I mean, like, if I'm out here living in Canada, it's okay with the Canada stuff. Am I still gonna get fucked?
That's kind of weird because Twitch it's a corporate entity within the United States. So when it comes to that kind of stuff, I heard that it was like it had to be regulated by certain provinces or certain states. It gets into kind of a gray area. It gets into kind of the weeds of all of that. It just feels like they should just be like either a full yes or a full no. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No, just like when it comes to like the hot tub stuff.
Gray area.
If they were just to make like Twitch X or Twitch After Dark or like, you know, just make a 100%. Sub thing where it's just like, hey, just have people pay to join this. And if people want to be naked, let them be naked. If people want to gamble, let them gamble.
Give us Twitch Premium or something.
If you want to fuck on Twitch, let them fuck on Twitch, but just have it be like a completely different entity. And then you wouldn't have to worry about little Jimmy getting on there and those little Jimmies like paying and like have them verify with a like driver's license. Yeah, that whole situation's fucked too. Like, yeah, it's crazy how many things are going on like behind the scenes of Twitch. And some of it's
drama everywhere you look.
Yeah, like that lady who broke her back in the foam pit. That's been released that she was. Yeah, and now they're saying that she was pregnant when it happened and she lost the kid. Like, whole thing's fucked. Like, it feels so bad. Like, she was just showing her scar from the surgery. It's like a 6-hour surgery to put that, like, thing in her spine.
She's going
to
be. She is forever changed.
Oh, yeah. That back is compromised.
Entirely changed. Nothing will ever be the same.
And it's like, I don't care what waiver she signed. No waiver gets rid of negligence. Like,
oh, yeah, it's definitely negligence over that waiver.
If you sign something that says, to I'm going to use this foam pit, she's under the sound body in mind that foam pit is like not
a foam pit.
Exactly.
Two cubes on the ground and concrete underneath. Like,
which brings me to my next question. Are you ever thinking of going to a TwitchCon moving forward?
I mean, if it ends up in Canada, possibly. I don't have a passport as of yet, so.
Okay. No, totally. I understand that completely. Like, I know they really love their European part where they, like, I think they're going to Amsterdam, like, 2 years running, and I heard rumors that the next one's going to be in Paris. So if the next one was to be in, like, a Quebec or a Toronto, then you would want to go because of the passport deal.
I would definitely be making it.
So
I'd find some shape or form of a way to get there.
So if you were to go to a TwitchCon, and let's say, like, everybody is there, is there a certain streamer or content creator in the scene that you would like to meet in person? Or is it one of those things where you haven't had that desire?
I can't say that I have. I'm a very strong believer in don't meet your heroes.
I could see that totally.
Yeah. It's kind of like, if I meet them there, cool. I'll give them props. That'll be that.
But nobody you're going to go out of your way for. And you're just gonna keep it brief so they know you don't give them enough time to disappoint you.
Don't disappoint me. Yeah. I've got an image of you. I don't want it to be changed. You know what I mean?
Right. My interaction is going to be so short. I'm going to hand you a Timbits and then I'm out of there.
Yeah. I'm definitely, like, if it's any of the guys, like, from the group, like if Toadster and stuff or any of those guys would end up there, I'd definitely be checking them out.
Totally. So
any of the boys we play with on the regularly.
Would you get into the foam pit?
No. I already have a pretty fucked up back, so.
Is that from racing? Is that from previous injury?
No. So so I used to work railroad.
Okay. Backbreaking.
And working railroad, doing what I was doing, I ended up being gone all summer long. And my last season I canceled because I had just gotten engaged.
Okay.
I was like, you know what? I'll take the summer. We'll enjoy that shit. And I decided to take some, lack of better term, some shit job around my place.
Totally.
And, well, I got injured at that shit job. And my back's been fucked since. I got injured. It was last October.
See, that's... That's the thing about back injuries and shoulder injuries. It's always compromised. Like, I just dislocated my shoulder yesterday, just playing with my kid. Oh, yeah. And then moving stuff out of storage. It just sucks because, you pop that shit back into place, but, you know, it's just always going to be, like, one awkward movement away from just doing it again, yeah. And it sucks.
100%. Well, that's the thing with those injuries, though, is that it's either going to get better, it's going to either get slightly better, or it's just not going to improve and you're going to be miserable until something else changes, like surgery or something. I don't know.
Right. So when you stream, do you find yourself standing to play? Do you find yourself sitting to play? Or are you constantly kind of moving around positions to not injure that back?
I'm practically teabagging my desk all day long. Standing, crouching, sit back down.
That would make an interesting camera angle.
Yeah, just sit there. Would it ever?
For 200 bits, I will teabag the camera.
I will teabag this desk right now.
For every time you kill a player in Modern Warfare 2, you just teabag.
Just start teabagging, yeah.
Which brings us to our next controversial topic. Is teabagging in a first-person shooter game sexual assault?
Oh my god.
I can't believe that's a thing that people are complaining about.
So that's definitely some guy trying to be way too PC.
Trying to be too woke.
And trying to defend his decision to not make himself look like an idiot. He really doubled down and went straight to it's sexual assault.
Right.
It's like anybody that has looked at that is just like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, even the guy, like, they were teammates. It was his own teammate. He was just trolling his own teammate. You know, sexual assault. Like, come on.
And it's gotten to the point where some people have been banned from certain tournaments because for doing that. Like, I heard about this guy in Valorant who his team, they did that, and then they were disqualified from the tournament, and they couldn't appeal it. And it's just like, and they were doing well, too. So it's like, okay, so you're going to take away.
Was it not on Apex?
The one I'm thinking about was Valorant, but I have heard about it happening in Apex as well. Which
what I had seen was the Apex one.
Which is alarming, too, because that's just a whole, like, that's been a part of gaming for a very long time. And then just somebody said that, and now it's like, you know, law.
It's Halo 3 on the OG Xbox. Okay,
I've been teabagging since Xbox came in its original format.
Back when it was just a giant fucking oven.
Right? The big black box with the green circle
still,
in the middle.
I still have that bad boy. My disc tray doesn't work properly, so I drilled a very precise hole in a certain spot, and you can, like, push a needle into it, and it opens the disc tray.
Look at you. That's awesome.
I love those YouTube tutorials. That shit came in clutch.
Right? Did you ever get the Red Ring of Death with the 360?
I got the Red Ring of Death after my CD exploded in the disc tray.
How the fuck did that happen?
Man, the worst part is, so have you ever played any of the Fear games?
Yeah.
So you remember,
never blew up.
I think it was Fear 3. You know the very, you're in the little high school or whatever, and there's like the lockers are like shuffling a little bit, and you're like building up to a jump scare. You know what I'm talking about?
I think I recall what you're talking about.
Yeah. So you're like, you're building up this like, you're ready for something to happen. It was my first playthrough of the game. I'm like young as hell, so like already extra creeped out for no reason at all.
Right.
And out of nowhere, the loudest bang comes out of my Xbox.
And you thought it was part of the game?
I genuinely jumped so bad. Well, I didn't think it was part of the game, but just because I was on edge, I jumped so bad that I smacked my head on top of the top bunk bed that I had at the time.
Oh. That's insane.
And well, Xbox turns off, and I'm like, what the fuck was that? So I like turn it back on. It's red ringed. I'm like, okay, well, that's fantastic, I guess. I go to open the disc tray. The CD's not in there. I'm like, what the fuck? So I opened up the console, and I found out that it popped out of the tray and like exploded into bits. So I don't know if like the tray went to like hyper speed or what the hell happened, but that disc literally disintegrated in the console.
Just fragments of game is inside
insane.
Of your console.
Insane! I didn't know that was even a thing. Like I read everywhere, and I'm yet to see anybody else have that happen. It's one of those things where like I wish I would have been recording that. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's insane. And of course, it has to happen right at the climax of like a scary moment in the game. Yeah. Like you're already prepared for a jump scare. And
like, I was building that whole mood up because like you're going through that hallway and they're like in a high school and there's just lockers on both sides of the hallway and they start ruffling.
Then your game turns into an IED
faster, and then my console just explodes and I'm like, scariest shit I've ever been through.
That wasn't on my fucking bingo card, 360. What the fuck, guys? Now, would you say that is the biggest catastrophe that's happened, like critical failure that's happened to you during gaming when it comes to like machinery or components?
I don't think it's even comparable.
Yeah. I mean, unless somebody poured a whole like jug of water into your PC or it's water cooled and one of those things just breaks off mid game, I can't think of anything comparable to that. That would suck.
Anything could be that bad. Not only was it fatal for the console, but it nearly gave me a heart attack. Like that was some scary shit.
Right? If you were older with a heart condition, that could have killed you too.
That could have been the end of that right there.
Can you
death by fear?
What would those criminal investigators thought when they roll up?
Like you just see the Xbox there, and then eventually somebody will open it down the line. It's just fragments of CD everywhere.
Oh my god. Yeah, I'm not the really Xbox sure, killer strikes again.
Yeah. The Red Ring of Death brings a whole new meaning.
Like what the actual fuck?
Yeah, I've genuinely sat there and read up trying to see if anybody else experienced that, and not once.
In those scenarios,
I
can't figure out if you're just an incredibly lucky person to have experienced that, or an incredibly unlucky person, because the odds must be horrible.
I have no idea. Like, the odds are clearly not high if I can't find a single person anywhere, like not even a Reddit post about any of that.
Right, especially online, where people will bitch about anything and everything.
Oh my god,
12
yes.
times
no
over.
Lack of complaining.
So, unfortunately, that's something we see a lot in the gaming scene, is a lot of people love to shit on games. And a lot of people love to take stances on certain games. Now, is there a game out there that you think is criminally underrated that gets a bad rap from the community?
I think it's safe to say Cyberpunk. That's gonna be a touchy subject.
Yeah, a lot of people have very strong feelings. It just sucks that people who stockholders forced that company to release the game before it was ready. That's the take I take from it. Like, there's a lot of cool potential, but they fixed it.
They did. That's exactly my point. Like, the launch was horrible, but unfortunately, we got to look at corporate greed and how, as a consumer, we allow this sort of stuff to happen.
100%.
Like, we, when games come out and we've paid for the game, we should have a complete game.
Yes.
The game shouldn't be full of bugs. I mean, sure, maybe a few, like, random fall through the map because nobody happened to jump in that corner in a certain way, you know what I mean? Like, the old school bugs.
Tiny bugs that could be patched. But the problems that existed with Cyberpunk could not be patched. It was too much.
You had to be playing the game in Braille to not be seeing these bugs.
Right, or just delusionally fanboying on the studio to be like, oh, it's okay.
Yeah, maybe they're like half blind, can't really see anything. They're just seeing shapes and shadows to begin with.
Or maybe they haven't played a game since Pac-Man on the NES. Yeah, so they're like, I'm happy for anything.
Yeah, pretty much. No, I mean, so when the game first came out, I tried playing through it, and there were just too many bugs that, like, drew me out.
Right.
When it comes to a game like that, you definitely want to be, like, as immersed as you can be.
And when you're seeing, it's so, like, story-driven.
Like, Jackie pull that chip out of his head with a gun in his hand at the same time he's pulling a gun out and putting it in your head. Like, that's... I'm sorry, this is supposed to be a very dramatic scene, but I can't stop but laugh. I can't do nothing else.
They built that game up so much. There was so much hype. Like that, like,
man,
trailer they put out
for so long.
Same. A lot of people
for
did.
So long.
And that's the worst part, is so many people had that initial release terrible taste in their mouth that they never gave the game that they wanted a chance when it was finally addressed and finally fixed.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the thing, like, the fact that they came out with the PlayStation, like, refund and everything, I easily could have done that myself, but I was like, you know what, there's one thing that I know CDPR is good for, is fixing their bad releases. Because, like, if you look back at Witcher 3, when that game first came out, it was a buggy mess.
But,
like, bad, bad.
But how long did it take to repair
Goliath?
Witcher 3 compared to how long it took to repair Cyberpunk?
I don't even know.
Because we're so many years from the release of Cyberpunk, and it just recently got addressed. It feels like, oh, man, I wish you guys would have, like, you know, brought it out in a more timely manner. Because it feels like they could have saved a lot of reputation. And they could have saved a lot, if not only, you know, they did the refund thing, which was great, but if they would have addressed the game to the caliber that it is out now, back then, that would have been huge.
The thing is, when that game came out, we were pretty much mid-COVID, were we not?
It was right around the beginning, if I remember correctly. It could have been,
like,
mid.
That whole staff was, like, cut down and everything because of COVID.
See,
so it all got slowed down.
It's like the people who are upset with Tarkov. Because there's not a lot of content for this current wipe, but it's like,
man,
there's a lot going on.
World War III starting off in their backyard, like,
exactly, and having people getting drafted and all sorts of crazy shit going. I think people
family members getting thrown out.
People forget that there's a world outside of gaming.
Very full of themselves. Everything's got to be about them.
Unfortunately,
they can't understand the fact that, like, there's more than just them. Like, all these developers and everything, they've got lives, they've got families, they've got these crazy events happening in their
Outside
backyard.
stressors.
Just
100%.
all kinds of stuff. So it
So,
is what it is.
speaking of outside stressors, somebody who like was on and off again streaming and now like is taking more of a regular approach to it. Now, when it comes to days that you say you're going to go live and then just something happens and you're just not feeling up to it, do you still force yourself to stream or do you take those mental days as needed?
I haven't actually had to run into a mental day. I usually don't drop the like I'm gonna go live message unless I'm for sure doing it.
Right.
So it'll be like maybe an hour beforehand.
Totally. But sometimes things come up. Shit
Oh,
happens.
100%.
That's the
If
one
it
thing
absolutely
is.
does, you won't see me stress out about it. I'll just drop an apology message and go on with my day and do whatever it is that I had to do.
Right, which is the healthy way to do it. I always feel bad when I see people who push through that kind of stuff, and then you'll see them post like, "I'm just so burnt out," and then they disappear from the platform for sometimes a few days, sometimes longer, sometimes they never come back. And like this streaming aspect, this streaming world has a really heavy mental toll because you're putting yourself out there constantly. And if you go to a stream and you're not feeling good and then somebody comes in and just shits on you, it can just ruin your whole fucking day or perspective. Like it's really important to keep your mental game up in these types of scenarios and in this type of community kind of thing. Now, for somebody who's been streaming for a while, have you experienced any negative, like random people coming through saying some random shit or, just bullshit that people deal with when they stream?
So having been streaming Call of Duties oftenly enough, I like to put like the TTV in my clan tag, so if anybody wants to hop in the stream or whatever after a match, cool, good to go. So there's always those guys that like I would, for lack of better terms, shit on, and they would definitely make themselves known in my chat and they'd come in here and start name calling, whatever.
Doing all
But
that wonderful stuff that you can't hear
it's
because you
definitely
have
one
them
of those
muted
where,
in
like,
game, and then they come in and they try to do that in your chat.
for sure. But no, it's definitely one of those where, like, hey, glad you stopped by. Thanks for the extra comments on here.
Thank you for the engagement, sort of deal.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah,
So,
hope you have a great day.
when it comes to that kind of stuff and adding TTB to your name, like I know it's free publicity and it brings people to your channel, but on the other side, do you find that you get sniped by an opposing team when you do have a TTB in your name?
Not quite big enough for that to be a problem yet, I feel like.
True, but like when you're playing against somebody and they see that, oh, he's got a TTB in his name. Like I've seen that in Valorant. Well, they'll be like, oh, he's got a TTB, and then somebody like
100%.
pull it up and they'll be like, oh, they're over on site A, let's go to B, or some bullshit like that. Have you experienced that
I
when Search
mean,
and Destroy?
not once actually.
Nice.
But there's always the option to set up delay if I have to. Like if I see that it is something that ends up happening, just turn on a delay and we get to go.
Right, you get a few sus deaths, and it's like, all right, let's turn on that like 30-second
Yeah,
delay or
30
whatnot, which is
second delay,
fairly easy to
baby.
do.
The viewers definitely understand that one. It just is what it is.
So, new thing, well, it's not really new, but one of the things that Twitch is pushing is the ad incentive program where they want people to run X amount of commercials for a cash incentive. Now, commercials are always a thing on Twitch, but it seems like now it's a little bit more heavy-handed than it used to be. Now, since you just unlocked affiliate, has the ad incentive program become available to you, or is it one of those things where they want you to stream more before they push it out to you?
Nope, it's already pushed out. So they give you, there's a like recommended setup, which like I looked at, and like the time frames are pretty good. I think I want to say it's like 30 seconds per hour or something like that.
Yeah, something like that for the first one. And then it goes up to like you have everything from like 30 seconds, and I've seen people go all the way up to like 5 minutes every hour, which it's like when you watch a TV show for an hour, you're definitely going to experience more than 5 minutes of commercials. So from like a commercial standpoint, that's not terrible. But gamers being gamers who like to complain, like I've heard people complain about that kind of stuff. But then I've also seen the flip side where you get people who are loading into stuff and their community's like, hey, run that ad, you're loading in, like get that money. Like if you have a cool community who like realizes that that's your way of making income as opposed to donos, like they actually are supportive of it. So that's a cool thing 100%. With certain communities. And that's a cool thing about you growing your community from your friends. It seems like they would be supportive in you running ads when you need to run ads. Because, like, yeah, for somebody who's, like, hitting affiliate, getting up to those degrees, like, it's not going to be, like, crazy life-changing money. But you know those pictures you've seen on Twitter of people posting, like, hey, they're offering me $30,000 or some crazy amount to run this many ads and stream this many hours? It's just like, yeah, I'm going to do that.
Yeah, no, for sure. Again, having a good community that backs you up definitely makes things a lot easier. I'm yet to receive any ad complaints, so until we do.
Do you use moderators in your stream?
We have a couple.
Nice. Yeah, it's one of those things that I always, when I'm talking to people who just hit affiliate or are moving forward affiliate, that always is one of the things that they seem to not have, because, you know, usually they're building from the ground up. It's usually just strangers who come in and, like, you know, you want to trust somebody to a fairly strong degree before you give them that mod thing. That's why it's cool going the route that you went, because these are already people you know and you play and you trust with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fellow streamers, fellow gamers.
Absolutely. So moving forward with your stream, like, we've already talked about, you know, channel rewards points. We talked about emotes. We talked about things that you've unlocked with the affiliate program. Now, my next question for you is, what is your next goal? Because I know a lot of people have, like, little goals that they set for themselves. Like, oh, I want to hit 15 viewers an hour. Like, you know, average this, this, and that. Like, do you have any, like, obtainable, like, immediate goals in the future?
Goals in the future, I would say, actually rely off of Twitch. I'd like to dabble into some video editing and perhaps start throwing some stuff on the YouTube.
Nice. Now, are you thinking about going long form content or, like, shorts type of content?
Bit of both, maybe. Short term, we'll do, like, clips and stuff. And then when it comes to the long term, it'll be, I guess, like, VODs, but, like, edited down to the good stuff sort of thing.
Right. Put
it down in parts. Like, I saved that entire 8-hour stream of the campaign, which I'm going to be editing down.
See, that's a cool thing about content creation, is there's so many routes you can go. Like, let's say you want to go the form of long content, and then you find that your particular content is more favored towards shorts. You can totally make those adjustments and go forward with your content. It's nice not to be trapped in a single box. Or if you find that, you know, let's say TikTok isn't a good platform for you, you have a YouTube and you have other things to go off of. So there's a lot of different routes. Like, there's not one set pathway for content creation, and that's the cool thing, is you get to find out what works for you.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So when it comes to working with other people and streaming with other people, is there anybody out there in the community who you haven't played with yet or haven't streamed with yet that you would like to moving forward? And this could be anyone in this community. This could be anyone from somebody who's, like, just getting started, or somebody who's, like, you know, a Dr. Disrespect type of level. If you could play with anybody. And I know it's a hard question because there's a shit ton of people out there. Who would you pick?
So I got brought to, excuse me. I got brought into PC gaming over Tarkov. Like, Tarkov is the entire reason I built my PC. I was like, I got to get my hands on this game.
Right.
But the person that I was watching at the time play it was actually Aqua FPS. And I'd say definitely one of the ones I'd enjoy getting a few games in with.
He's definitely, when I ask this question, when people actually give me an answer, most of the time it's like, it's either Aqua FPS or it's there's too many people, I can't choose one type of answer. So it's funny how it's always the same guy. It's just, he's just so personable. You're he seems like a regular dude.
100%. You're definitely dealing with a lot of the people in my circles. And we're as a bunch of Tarkov players / streamers, we're definitely going to orientate towards the old Loot Lord himself.
The Loot Lord.
Yeah.
Baron Von Piss.
Yeah. No, I actually came across Here Comes Peepaw from one of Aqua FPS's videos.
Is that how you made that connection?
Threw himself off the cliff. Anyways,
Well, I made the connection.
Oh yeah, is that how you make first learned of Peepaw, or is this
Oh
like?
yeah, that's what brought me to his channel, and then I shot the shit in there for a while, and then I met I want to say it was Goblins for Life. Played with him for a good while, and then we jumped into lobbies with Peepaw. I had a blast with them, bunch of pretty pog guys,
Nice.
all the squabble heads and stuff as well. Dark Dave, Toadster.
Right. That's how I found you, is I found you through Toadster. We're just chilling in the
Yeah.
pond, and then you came through, and I was like,
Yes,
hey.
sir.
I started looking at your stuff. I was like, I'm going to invite him for an interview. And here we are. See, that's the great
Yes,
thing about
sir.
content creation is networking. It can be very
Oh,
easy
yeah.
if you allow it to be. If you're not just going into channels and you're dropping your links.
Yeah. No, it's all about just getting your name out there and being wholesome. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Just share
So,
some love and it'll come back.
do you have anything planned for this upcoming drop of Dark and Darker, or do you have anything planned for Marauders or an upcoming wipe of Tarkov? Do you have anything or any game on your radar that's coming through?
Yeah, Tarkov wipe for sure. I actually haven't played Dark and Darker. I've played Marauders. Marauders lost my interest ra rather quickly,
It
and
doesn't have the
I don't
depth of
even
a
know why.
Tarkov.
It really doesn't, and I feel like that's kind of the problem, is if you're going onto that wanting another Tarkov experience, this is not what you're gonna get. You know what I mean? Like we've been so. Well, we have so much stuff to go through when it comes to Tarkov, and so much just super technical stuff
Right.
that
From the
when
healing,
you go
the
into that,
ammo,
it's
the
almost like,
guns,
yeah,
the
it's
super
almost like baby
simplistic.
mode Tarkov, and you're like, well, this isn't as fun.
But it can also work in the reverse way, like a Dark and Darker or a Marauders or a Cycle Frontier could be a gateway drug to funnel people into Tarkov. Be like, oh, you're great at
It's
this.
kind
Why
of
not
great.
try a more difficult version?
Yeah, 100%. That's the thing. That's what I was about to say too, is that like if you start off with those, great. You know what I mean? Like I'm glad those games are coming out, because it does funnel players towards the more hardcore version of that, if that is what they're seeking.
Exactly. Have you
It also
played
brings the
or
casuals out.
have you seen or played Hell Is Others? That top down looter extractor.
Hell is others. I don't
Yeah,
think
it's
so.
very interesting. It's like it's a top down and it's like just like a Tarkov or a Marauders or a Cycle Frontier. You load into a map and there's items you're trying to steal and there's items you're trying to do and there's like in-game traders and stuff you're trying to take care of. And other players are active on the map too. So it's kind of got those looter shooter elements where you're trying to like get in and do that. But the gunplay is very different because it's not a first person shooter. It's like it's a top down, so you can see your character. Like, you know, the original GTA is the top down view, the bird eye view. So it's very
Yeah.
unique. And I know some people are really digging that because it's a different take on the genre. But at the same time, some people are hating on it because it's like, you know, not graphically the most beautiful game out there because the graphics are kind of like what you would see with an NES back in the day.
No, that sounds pretty neato for sure. Well, it's like, have you heard of BattleBit?
BattleBit, yes. BattleBit is definitely a game that I've seen a few times. Ironically enough, the first time I saw it was on an Aqua FPS stream. It's one of those games that I have on my Steam wish list, and one of these days I'll get around to buying it. But it definitely was
But
fun
it's
as
free.
fuck to watch. Oh, wait,
It's
it's free?
just in playtests. Yeah, so you sign up for the playtest and they'll add you to the list, and whenever the next playtest comes out, you just hop on and play.
Going through my Steam inventory. It is free, you're right. For some reason I thought it was like $10. I'm thinking something else. I'll have to add that. Do you yeah, that's the thing about Dark and Darker is like right now they're just still going through the playtest. I don't know when the next one's coming out. And this current one I think is gonna end at the end of the weekend. That's what I've heard. I don't know if
Yeah.
that's true.
Yeah,
Hell Is Others,
sure.
I think, is released. It's not that much money. It's less than $20. I don't know the exact price. I've been watching people play it. I haven't decided to pull the trigger on that one yet as well. And then yeah, and that's another thing about Tarkov is the price tag. So I know a lot of people who want to get into Tarkov, but they want to buy the EOD version, but the EOD version's a little pricey for some people,
Oh, it's pricey for sure.
but think about how much hours you have in Tarkov. Like, you don't have to like say how many hours, but like how many games
Oh,
have you
my gosh, yeah.
played throughout the course of your life who have given you that many hours of enjoyable gameplay?
The only one I can think of is Modern Warfare 2019 with 35 in-game days.
Exactly. The replayability of a
Is
Tarkov,
massive.
it's
Yeah.
massive. No raids, unless it's a dead raid, plays exactly the same. There's just so many different variables that can come up now that they're adding things like airdrops, now that they're adding things like, more bosses, more maps, the rogues. Like, it just adds to the complexity of the game. And that's the thing I don't understand with these people who are like, oh, there's not enough content this wipe. Just like, okay, I get that, but at the same time, think
This
about any
one
other game.
definitely.
Like, there's no other game in this genre that's got this much stuff.
No, for sure. I
But you know,
definitely felt like this wipe was a little more, I don't
little
know.
slower.
It just didn't feel very great.
Right. Well, hopefully
But I mean,
Arena comes
understandable.
out, and hopefully Streets gets released, and they can get those
Yeah,
players
right.
that have walked away back. I know it's going to probably take a few years for those things. This is all wishful thinking, especially with all the shit they're going through right now. It's probably nowhere near done. But I just don't understand why people are like, dead game. It's like, how can you say that? It's not dead
Oh,
yet.
it's not dead. It's like this every year.
It comes in waves. Everyone's all happy for wipe. And then, like,
Wipe
three
is
weeks
hard.
in, people start to get pissed. And there's one guy who hits level 60 right off the bat. And then it's just kind of. There's no end game content. It's like, yeah, because you're at the end game before everyone else. What do you think?
Yeah, 100%.
There's no one on labs. Like, yeah, give
People
it a
go way
minute.
too hard on it for no reason.
Right? And then they
You don't have to have Kappa by tomorrow. You know what I mean?
how much
So
would a
it's fine.
viewer have to donate to you for you to destroy your entire inventory and for you to kill your Kappa container?
I've never gotten Kappa. I've never even come close to Kappa. I'm like I'd say actual wipes dug into the game. I'd say three wipes. And then before that, I would always start up late in wipe. So I would come in late to the party and get absolutely destroyed by all the mega chads while I'm still out here using scav weapons.
I absolutely love how they're changing up some of the tasking too. Like, oh, you don't have to kill five dudes on customs anymore. It can be anywhere. And just bring me those shotguns.
Yeah,
I don't give a
that was
fuck.
great. That was absolutely great.
I wish they would do that with more of the tasks. Like, especially the entry tasks. Because it's like, yeah, everybody and their mother's getting me
Just
on customs to
all of them.
start. And this
Isn't
way,
just tiny little things.
right? Right, maybe add some fun missions too to the Jaeger task line, because Jaeger's a complete asshole. Like, how fun would it be if he's like, hey, go in the woods and eat these mushrooms, and one of the scavs is gonna look like Bigfoot. Just kill Bigfoot and come back to me. Like, add something fun. I'm tired of
Just
acting like that
randomly
guy's
destroy
Uber Eats.
cliffs. Yeah, 100%. The question is how the hell does he know I was dehydrated for 5 minutes out in the woods, huh?
Because Jaeger's Santa Claus, bro. He's always watching. Which brings me to my next question. If you could hang out with any Tarkov trader for a day, who would it be? And on the other side, if you could beat the absolute shit out of any Tarkov trader, who would it be?
Beat the shit out of Jaeger, hang out with a mechanic.
Okay.
Because fuck Jaeger.
Why would you hang out with a mechanic?
I just feel like he would have some pretty neat tips and tricks with like just crafting stuff overall. Yeah. I
His
don't know.
voice lines, he gets really into the ether. He's like very like philosophical in some ways, but he says some kind of strange things. He seems like he'd be an interesting guy to have a drink with.
So yeah, 100%.
And Jaeger's just an asshole, so I'm totally in
Yeah,
support of
just
beating the
fuck
fuck out
Jaeger
of Jaeger. So,
altogether.
same question, but with the Tarkov bosses, if you can hang out with any Tarkov boss for a day, this is including the rogues and
Killa.
scab bosses, Killa, common answer. Why would you
Killa.
hang out with Killa?
Just because I would absolutely crouch in a corner in the dark with that sexy man any day of the week.
Him and Sturman are probably my most common people want to hang out with one. And on the other side of that question, who would you beat the fuck out of if you could beat the fuck out of any
Tequila.
trader? Tequila? Why Tequila? What did he do to you?
Even though he's like the easiest man, so my first interaction with Tequila, not even fully realizing he was in the game yet, I had a killer raid. I killed all like every other player in the lobby by myself. I was like, yes, this is a sick raid. I'm on my way out. I go through the first door, gate three. I peek in, make sure there's no, player scams or
No,
anything.
nobody's ratting you.
Yeah, so I'm safe for the first little area. I open the second door, and as I go to peek into the door, that motherfucker clotheslines me right in the face with a sledgehammer and kills me instantly. I'm like, are you shitting me? I'm like, what the hell was that? And it was like, to Gilba. I'm like,
That
no.
sounds absolutely horrible. Have you seen him during the Halloween event?
No, I hear it's pretty freaky.
I hear he has a scythe, and people have been seeing him
Yeah.
on customs, which could be really cool. And
Yeah,
then,
he's
like,
everywhere.
the lore-wise, there's like letters where I think Kill is saying that he's like a zombie or some shit. I don't know. I haven't played the Halloween wipe. Been taking a little bit of a break for all these other
Well,
games
apparently
that are
they've
coming
got
out.
like a mind control like flare where like if you shoot a flare as a PMC, all the scavs in your area will run to you and like be with you.
That's pretty
So you got like
sick.
little scav buddies. I'm like, oh, that's pretty
The only
posh.
way that could be cooler is imagine shooting a flare and then having the rogue bosses parachute down and being your fucking duo partners.
Right. That'd be so sick.
Kill them, Bird
All of the
Eye.
boys. Yeah. Do you know how OP that would be?
It'd be pretty fucked up.
Especially if they follow you, because you just bring them wherever you want to bring them. Just put them in the most unexpected spot and just let Bird Eye do his work.
So, question for you, for somebody who enjoys Tarkov, have you seen the rogues this wipe? Because I know some people have either seen them a lot or not at all.
So, this is the second wipe they're at, right?
I
Or is this
think
the
this is
first
their first
iteration?
full iteration.
Okay. All right. So my first run-in with them this wipe, I got big piped by big pipes, big pipe. Walking along
That's a
the
tongue
side of
twister.
a crack house. Yeah. Walking along crack house, and I just hear thump. I'm dead. I'm like, okay, what
Done.
the hell was that?
You got thumped.
And then of course it was big pipe with the MG or the GL.
Oh, big
But
pipe.
aside from that, like I don't even actually think I've run into them since. Like that was my one and only interaction.
Right. So everyone's always talking about, well, especially when they were being teased before release, about their radio equipment. And there were like a lot of speculation on what they're going to do with that radio equipment that they're wearing, like on their backpack and such. So my question to you is, would you be a fan of an item in raid found where you pick it up and it immediately spawns them on the map if they're not already spawned, and it tells you like your location, so they'll hunt you actively, and you have to extract and have it be like a radio transmitter so you can like hear them talking. Like if you're old gas, they can be like, "We see you near old gas," or whoever the fuck you are. They'll just like talk to you through it. Would you be a fan of an element of like that being introduced into the game?
I would enjoy some sort of this is happening, you need to get out now sort of thing.
Right.
Did you play the event when they had us finding stims and stuff?
Wasn't that like two wipes ago?
Think it was like last wipe,
Last
towards the
wipe.
end of wipe.
I remember it a little bit, but I didn't really take it too serious. 'Cause I just play like I get to a certain point of like doing tasks and quests, and I'm just like, fuck it, I'm just gonna do whatever though I want. I usually just end up dying on like customs just for fun.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, no, that was so you had to like find these syringes to survive long enough to get to extract because the extracts were closed until a certain time. And you had to like pop an injector every so
I
often
do
before.
remember this, and I remember being frustrated as fuck because I didn't know what to do, so I kept dying.
Yeah, you have to like go to the airdrops and stuff and like fight over them. I think that as a random possible event would be super neat. Like,
Totally.
oh hey, like we're getting hit with some sort of like gas attack. We're sending in care packages, get to them or you're gonna die. You know what I
Right,
mean? It'd
something
be a
to
guy to
add
have that.
extra flavor to the game. And there's so many
Yeah.
things on there that haven't been fleshed out. Like, the radiologic thing where it's like, that you have that radio the rad level, or like the hot cold thing. Like maybe if it's raining, your person will get hypothermia in later iterations of the game, or addiction. People have talked about getting addicted to meds, or maybe you can smoke the cigarettes in game to like, give
Lower
yourself like an
stress
aim
level.
boost or stress. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because they do have stress resistance and stuff. I'm surprised the Siggies aren't a thing, to be
It'd
honest
be
with you,
cool as
because
if you
that's
do
a
that,
very easy thing.
they could also have a negative effect where it messes up your endurance because you're
Yeah,
smoking.
so stamina goes down, right? Because your lungs are all messed up. But you get stress resistance. You get what's that one where you like flinch less? There's like less of a suppression mode.
Oh, what was it
I think it
called?
is stress resistance.
Think it is. Like, there's so many cool things they could add. Like, they could even do handedness where you could switch to shooting your gun left-handed. And, like,
That
the more
should
you do that,
100% be a thing. The
that
shoulder
would,
swab,
yeah, that would make
100%.
left peeking so much better. But, like, your person's gonna suck at it until you level it up. So you'd have people running, like,
Yeah.
full left-handed kits and stuff. Like,
No,
there's a
100%.
lot of things that they can do. And that's just right off the top of, like, you know, our heads just talking. Like, I'm sure they, if they're,
All
that
stuff
they're,
they've thought about it.
oh, yeah.
It's all stuff they're, I'm sure, trying to do.
That's the thing I love about this game is there's just so much potential and there's so many avenues
Endless.
they can go.
Endless potential. It could go on for so long.
Right? This is why I just don't understand when people are just like, dead game. It's like,
Good
no.
game, yeah.
Just because it's not.
People are dropping off because it's later on in the wipe. That's how it
Right?
is every year.
Just
But
because
still
it's
not
not
dead. People are going to
scratching that
go in there not
immediate
having played.
itch doesn't mean it's dead. But you know,
No, it
people
just
are.
goes back to the people like to complain then that you were
Exactly.
talking about earlier.
So, fortunately, we're getting close to our time constraint. We like to keep it between an hour, hour and a half when it comes to, like, you know, interviews and things like that. So before we do our signing off bit, it's your time to say whatever it is you want to say, Toxic, whether you want to thank people in your community, whether you want to talk about a sponsor, whether you want to plug a subathon. Now's your time to say whatever it is Toxic Bullet wants to say. The floor is yours.
Definitely a massive thank you to all the people that stuck around, that continue to stick around. Whether you come in and you chat, you come in and you lurk, always appreciate it all around. Follow the Twitch, stuff coming out on the YouTube soon. Jump in the Discord, and about it.
Nice. And we'll put the links in the description for you. I can't
There
talk
we
for the
go.
Twitch. I was trying to say Twitch and it just wasn't coming out. So we'll put the link in the description for the Twitch. And then when the YouTube becomes available or the TikTok or any other form of platform that you want to explore, just send me the link. I'll add it to the episode description after the fact. And we'll try to funnel as
Yeah,
many
for
people
sure.
to you as you can. Other than that, is there
Yeah.
any set days? Because I know you said you stream as like as you can, but is there any day that you usually are available that you usually do play?
Weekends are definitely more likely. But then it's random streams over the week, and if I have a chance.
And you're on Eastern Standard Time for those people in the US who might be listening.
Correct.
Perfect. And what province are you in, Canada-wise?
Born in Quebec, live in Ontario, and I've worked pretty much everywhere in the country.
Nice. So,
Yeah.
for those of you who want to give Toxic a shot, he's available on the weekends, Eastern Standard Time. You can talk to him about anything from first-person shooting to racing and all the stuff in between. Other than that, I need nobody. I have a dislocated shoulder. I need to go smoke some pot because I'm very uncomfortable at the moment with my arm. This has been episode
Well, you have a good one,
66.
man.
I appreciate that, and we'll catch you guys next time here.